When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Hello, welcome along. It is the Monday morning episode. Football's pretty much finished. What do we do now, Sam? What do we do? What do we talk about? It's a look back. We'll just look back at life in general. We've got the FA Cup final.
Could we change this episode during the summer months called Summer Reflections?
summer moods.
Memories.
Summer feelings.
Light the corner of my mind.
Yeah.
Misty watercolour memories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the cup final, I found worrying, mate, because I thought, here are Watford, a decent Premier League team. No mugs, right? Nope. No mugs. They came with a game plan. They've got a good manager. It was clear in the opening exchanges that Watford had a very decent game plan.
Yep.
They nearly went 1-0 up. And in the end, City rolled them over. And frankly, it could have been more than six. And I looked at it and I thought, this is going to be football for who knows how long. Because you look at the European leagues, particularly Italy and Germany, where Bayern Munich have won it God knows how many years in a row. Juventus have won it something like 8 years in a row or something like that. I think it's fucking tedious. And the reason that at the moment the Premier League feels like the preeminent league in the world is because of the competition. But you look at it, and Klopp touched on it when they lost out on the league title. He said, and some people might have thought it was sour grapes, but I thought it was very true. He said, listen, we're a great team and we can't underestimate what we've achieved by accumulating the points we did this season. Mm. Any other season, any other league, we would have won it easily. But we are up against an incredible team here. And that's the thing. City, and it's hard to know. I'm not pointing the finger of blame, or someone said to me recently, and we've talked about this before, oh, I don't like City. They're a club with no soul. And I went, that's complete bollocks. It's complete bollocks. First of all clubs have souls, really. Well, maybe not Reading, but, you know.
Or MK Dons.
Right. I mean, you know, they all have a soul. And City have got, depending on what your definition is, more than most. It's not the fans' fault that they got bought by some really rich people. It's certainly not the manager's fault. It's not the players' fault. It's definitely not the fans. It's not even the owners themselves. All they've done is buy. I mean, if you or I, if one day you and I become that rich, if we can achieve the same wealth out of podcasting that them Arabs did out of oil, right?
Well, and you know, times are changing. I think I would say it's probably quite inevitable that we will do that eventually.
I've read in various publications, Time Magazine, The Economist, The Wall Street Journal, that podcasting will be to the 21st century what oil was to the 20th century.
Yeah.
The most precious commodity, and also that wars will be fought over it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Oil.
It'll be the commodity that basically powers the world in the upcoming 100 years.
It will. So, I just hope that we don't get invaded by hostile
podcasting territories.
Yeah. Exactly, and they'll want their hands on our assets, not just us. They'll be bang after mints, and then as a bonus, they might get the Cass Pennant and Paul Dunan podcast thrown in. And it's all grist to the mill. Listen, if we make millions and millions out of billions out of podcasting, we'd buy a club.
Of course we would.
We'd buy a club, and then when we bought it, we wouldn't go, well, although we've got limitless money, it would be unfair on the other clubs if we just started buying. Listen, right, If I could buy a club tomorrow, whether it be West Ham or anyone, I would go out and I would start to try and buy, Mbappe. I would buy Kante. Do you know what I mean? I'd probably buy Messi for a last hurrah. Yeah. I'd fucking buy the lot, mate. Why wouldn't I? And so you can't blame those bastards either. It's just the way things are. So there's no one to blame. But the truth is that what we saw yesterday was, it was very entertaining. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was entertaining to watch City when they hit fifth gear. But, you know, it just is frustrating because you think, I can't see anyone. I can't. They've won the domestic treble and I expect them to continue to win in the domestic treble every year for the next 10 years.
I mean, what Liverpool have done this season might prove to be completely freakish, and then the next season they might finish on 83 points or something like that. Because they've made up, what, 25 points this season on City from last season? So it feels like to do that again against City is going to be an even bigger ask again.
How would you feel?
Then you've got this the next tier, which is Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, and Manchester United. And you know, Manchester United fans, or some of their fans, probably still feel as though they should be at the top of the tree where they were when Ferguson was there. That is gone. There's no chance of them catching up City in the next 5 years, as far as I can see.
I tell you what, it's going to take more than fucking Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Fred to get you back up to the. To the fucking mighty preeminent force in British football, mate.
Yeah. What is it going to take? It felt like you were hanging in the air with something there. Do you know what it's going to take for Manchester United to get back?
No, they just can't do it. I mean...
Well, it's not doable, is it? Exactly.
Unless if you were a cash-rich Arab or a Russian oligarch or two podcasting entrepreneurs...
Yeah.
And... you were looking at a club to buy at the moment, I'd probably think buy United because they're probably quite undervalued because they've just had another shit season. They're sixth and yet they are probably in the top two most famous and potentially valuable football brands in the world. Yeah. I hate to use that term, football brands, but I would say along with Real Madrid.
That's where we're at, right?
So from a business point of view, you think, go and buy it. The Glazers don't give a fuck about it. They'd sell it. The Glazers would sell fucking Manchester United tomorrow if you came in with a silly bid, which is what you and I would do.
We would, wouldn't we?
Well, I can imagine that can you and I would probably disagree over that because I'd go, Andy, I think we should go straight in with a £20 billion bid. Why not?
Cash.
And you might counsel... You'd probably boringly counsel a more nuanced approach to negotiation. Whereas I'd like want to throw the whole bucket at it. Well, buy United, right? It's quite good for me and you because as we found on our recent trip to Salford, it's sort of equidistant.
Yeah.
And then I reckon that's the only way is if they had someone, and there will be people out there who are as rich as these Qataris, right?
Yeah. Can we not just knock together 10 grand and maybe buy a non-league club and just see how long it takes us to piss away that 10 grand?
Wouldn't it be great next season, right? I'm serious about this, right?
Buy a Sunday league team.
Why don't we sponsor a non-league team next season? Top Flight Time Machine on their shirts. It'd be fucking great.
We could do that. All of the money that's coming in from the Iron Filing Society.
We've got.
Spunk all of it on a non-league team.
We could borrow against the season's money anyway. You could go to someone that...
The idea's out there now. We're putting it out there. If you are involved in a non-league team, we don't care how low the level is. The lower the better, because you know the cheaper it's going to be.
Yeah.
We are interested in having our logo on your shirts next season. Talk to us.
Yeah, if you are Sir John, I don't know, Sir John Roehampton Harriers, right? Get in touch, because you could have Top Flight Time Machine emblazoned. And if you want reference... nice segue this. Just go on to topflighttimemachine.com, look on our merch page, and you will see how gorgeous our logo looks when emblazoned across T-shirts. Yeah.
You know, and we might even come to the club itself and record a special episode in the centre circle an hour before the kickoff of a match.
I could arrange for my mum to come and present the players with medals at the end of the season as well in her best dress.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
my mum said. My mum, despite having four like fanatical football supporting sons who did nothing but watch and talk about football throughout like their childhood. Well, she knows, she just doesn't know anything about football at all. But she did say today, oh, that was the cup final yesterday. Some of those players, when they gave the interviews afterwards, they're very small, aren't they? And I went, yeah.
The City ones.
I went, the City players are small. And she went, why is that? Because they can nip around a bit quicker, can they? And I went, yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
that's,
it is.
I said, Guardiola likes little players because they're more agile. She went, ha, I reckon it's because their uniforms are cheaper, aren't they? They're just getting the kids' ones. Fucking uniforms.
It's got a point.
You would have thought she would have picked something or other up, but anyway.
So we'll do that. We'll sponsor a team, and for an extra X number of pounds, you can also have Resultspot as your club's mascot for a season.
Oh.
And he'll wander around the edge of the pitch, fucking swearing at people while the match is going on.
Yeah. So we'll have to get someone to dress up as Resultspot, or we'll make a Resultspot.
Yeah, we'll do it. Well, I mean, you can do it.
What were those? What were those automated sort of cars that you got from the Argos catalogue in the '80s? Was it called something like Bigfoot or Big Track? Big Track.
Big Track. Yeah.
We get a Big Track.
Yeah.
We stick a bucket on top of it, but wrap the bucket in tin foil.
Yeah.
Stick a coat hanger on upside down on top of the bucket, so it's like an antenna, and then just get the biggest googly eyes we can find from the local art shop, right? And then we'll just put a tape recorder in there with the phrase 1-0 written over and over again. And then it'll go round and round your pitch throughout the game.
Because instead it's a program. You just program however many steps forward you want it to do and then however many to the left. And then forward again, and then to the left again, and then forward, and it just goes round and round the pitch for the whole 90
Hello
minutes.
Hello and welcome
shouting,
to Kidderminster Harriers. Thanks for coming today. A record for the season so far. 412 supporters. Appreciate your loyalty. This week, as always, sponsored by our friends at Top Flight Time Machine. And give a wave there to our sponsor. There he is. The cheeky chappy result spot going round the side of the pitch there. Oh, no, don't kick him, madam. No, that's not... No. Oh, fuck me. It's collapsed.
Did you see, speaking of kicking, did you see Sunderland's player Luke O'Neill when he went into the crowd the other night? He fell over the advertising hoardings and landed in the front row of the Portsmouth fans, and one of them put the fucking boot right into him. Put the boot in and then landed a punch on him, and then he
landed
came
a punch
out of the crowd.
That's a bit much. I mean, I can understand sticking the boot in, but a punch as well.
It's
come
on the same, isn't it? And then obviously the stewards got involved and the police got involved and the fellow was carted away, and they interviewed Luke O'Neill afterwards, and they said, because you got in a bit of trouble there when you went into the crowd over the hoardings, Luke. He went, it's football, isn't it? That's what happens. So you're not intending to... The police have spoken to you. Yeah, the police asked me what happened and all that, and it's all settled now. And so, well, you're not going to like press charges? And he went, nah, it's football, isn't it? He goes, he can have that one. And you've got all these fucking furrow-browed pundits, and you're going, it's disgraceful, and it's a sad indictment of the modern game, and this man should be dealt with in the harshest possible manner. And Luke O'Neill's like, he can have that one.
He can have that one. That's football. It's all part of the fun and games, isn't it? Hey? That's what people turn up and pay their money to see. Correct, it is.
Exactly.
That what we saw at Fratton Road last night was the most disgusting reflection of how low our game has sunk. And I want to take your calls on this today, okay? Because I just think football cannot go any lower than this. What my question is for you today, listeners, is shall we just pack up and go home? Should the game end? Because these people are scum. I'm the bloke who it happened to, and all I want to say is he can have that one. It was a nice... He made good contact. Fair play to the lad. Next time, perhaps it'll be the other way round.
As soon as I fell in the crowd, I thought, I'm going to get a boot in here. I'm going to get a shoe in. So I braced myself.
I thought to myself, well, here it comes.
And it did. Right. Sure enough, it did.
Sure as eggs and eggs. In it goes. Oh, got me right in the gut. Then before I know it, in comes the clump. Lovely stuff. Oh, well.
And then And then as he clambered out of the crowd back onto the pitch, of course, there's a bit of fucking to and fro going on between some of our players and their fans. And it ended up with Lee Cattermole offering one of their fans onto the pitch to have a tear up with him.
Excellent.
That's League One. That's where it's
That's
at.
That's League One. That's living all right. Very reminiscent of the John Gregory / John Terry experiences of my brother Cass at QPR,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah,
giving it
exactly.
all the chat. And until one of them turns exactly. around and offers you out, and you realise the other fella's younger than you and a professional athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, and course, fuck that.
And of course, the midway point between that in League One and the dull, asinine Premier League that you've just talked about earlier is the Championship, yeah. which we decided earlier in the season, best league in the world.
Championship, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
It certainly
and that's
is.
Where you could be heading. Congratulations,
God.
Mate. You
well,
must feel
thanks.
Tremendous.
I'm going to Wembley again, twice in 2 months.
To watch the exact same fixture.
The same outcome. No, not the same. It's Sunderland Charlton.
Not the
this
same
time.
Outcome.
It's a replica of that 1998 playoff final that broke so many hearts and thrilled the nation with Mickey Gray's penalty miss.
Was that against Portsmouth?
No, Charlton.
Oh, no, what am I talking about? Yeah, yeah,
no,
you're playing Charlton.
We had Portsmouth in the semi. Yeah. We've got Charlton in the final.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
It'll end in tears, I'm sure. It'll end in tears.
Tell me about that. Do you think you got the better of Charlton? What was the games so far this season against them?
We beat them 2-1 in stoppage time on the first day of the season. So all I'm saying is Netflix are doing another series of this Sunderland thing that they did last year.
Oh, yeah.
And for it to begin with a 2-1 win in injury time at home at the Stadium of Light... And then for it to end with us playing Charlton again, you couldn't write it any better.
Fuck, mate.
Is Sunderland. And when there's an opportunity to fuck something up, we will fuck it up.
Makes you suspicious almost, doesn't it? The way the world works these
you
days,
think it's
whether
all rigged?
Or not. Well, Sunderland may have just... This might be a long game. Sunderland might have been some sort of really long game fucking experiment by the powers that be at Netflix, stretching back to the fucking Mick McCarthy era for all we know.
Could go as far
back as Howard Wilkinson when he just made them all watch videos of swallows migrating for summer.
Yeah. I reckon Netflix is probably run by aliens and it's all part of that. They've somehow controlled the circumstances in this season's football.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
I heard a great deep state conspiracy from someone the other day.
Go on then.
Why are you chuckling? Because you know who it was from.
No.
well, you could guess, but we can't say it, right? But
I can't
he
think,
said,
but I might, once you've said it.
He said, how many people live in the UK? You know, how I've said before on this podcast how I hate being asked questions by people in that way when you know it's always a bloke. Right. Mm. And it's always a know-it-all pompous bloke. Mm. And their technique is to ask you a question that they know you will get the answer wrong to. Right. That's the whole point. And then to cunt you off about it. And I have a policy. I'm just like, I'm not answering that. And I go, well, I go, because clearly I don't know the answer. If I did know the answer, you wouldn't be asking me. So let's skip this bit. Whatever supposedly interesting fucking fact you've got up your sleeve, tell me now.
Get on with
right?
it. Get
tell
out.
Me now. Get on with it. Don't skip the bit where you fucking pointlessly try to humiliate me.
Yeah.
No, you tell me how many people live in the UK. All right, I think it's 65 million. Wrong! Okay, surprise the fucking prize. I'm wrong. The official figures are incorrect.
Yeah.
It's more like 75 million. I was like, well...
I've just realised who you're talking about. Yeah, carry on.
Correct,
sorry.
Yeah. And he's gone, And I've gone, okay.
Right. 75 million, you say?
Yeah, so it's not even that far out. Anyway, I was like, well, that's not bad. It's within the margin of error, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, how do you know? And I don't. How come you know the facts? I know where I get my information from. And he did all that laughing. Yeah, but you're just like most people. You just eat up whatever you're told. Right?
Yeah,
and I go,
sheeple.
All right, yeah. Do you know what the truth I was thinking in my head was? I should have just said to him, truth is, mate, I don't give a fuck how many people live in the UK. I got other things on my fucking mind. I do not give a flying fuck, right?
It could be a billion. It's none of my business.
It's no one's fucking business. I don't even know how many people live in my street. Do you know what I mean? I don't care. I'd care if it started getting a bit too rowdy. I wouldn't do a head count. I'd probably just stick my head out the window and tell them all to fucking keep it down, to be honest.
I'm trying to have a kip.
Anyway, I said, how do you know? And he went, trust me, there are ways and means. It's pretty simple to work out how many people live anywhere. And I went, how then? How? Because you can imagine I started to get a bit irritable.
Yeah.
I should say to the listener, I was interviewing a person. And I'm not going to say it was yet, but I was interviewing someone, and when I write up, which will be soon, you'll find out who it was. But in an interview, Andy, obviously, as you know, you shouldn't really get into the business of answering their questions, because that's a technique they use. And secondly, you shouldn't really get into a row. Well, I broke both those questions extensively,
man,
in this interview, which is why when you read it, it's going to be such good reading. But I've gone, what? You can imagine, it was like everything that annoys me. I'm like, well, how do you fucking know? And he goes, well, when it comes to finding out how many people live in a country, it's the three Fs, isn't it? And I go, what do you mean? Oh. He goes, food, feces, and farewells. And I went, what? What's that supposed to mean? And then he chuckles at me because I don't know what that means.
Because you don't know what that is, of course.
I've never
idiot.
Come... No one, that's not a commonly used phrase or saying, dickhead. Whereas, well, you know how much food's being consumed. That's a pretty easy thing to track, correct? I go, yeah, thinking.
Is
no,
it?
I don't. No. Yeah, no. I don't fucking know. Right? But I just go, yeah, well, obviously, yes. I mean, of course, we know how much food's being eaten. That's pretty standard.
Supermarkets. But then there's independent greengrocers, and there's, you know, people that grow
their own
food.
Yeah, what do you fucking do? You do an audit, do you, every fucking week of every shop, how much they've flogged? Come off it, mate. Going round to every Pret a Manger and every Greggs. I go
and
to...
How's he measuring the faeces, then? How's he doing that?
Well, another question. He said, then we know how much faeces is in the sewage system, and that is a pretty fair reflection of how many people live there. Again, oh, hang on a minute, right? That depends. Not every human does the same amount of shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
You might eat a lot, but not shit much, because you might be egg bound, for example.
Yeah, exactly. It all depends on diet and everything.
Someone else, your neighbour, might eat a lot less than you, but he's fucking cramming down he's having fruit and fibre for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Right? He's shitting non-stop.
Right.
Look at different countries. What about in India? Right. You know what they eat in India, don't you?
Curry.
Indian food.
Yeah.
Every day. It's not a treat like for us once a week.
Yeah.
For them, it's every day. They must get bored of it. But anyway, that's another story. They presumably are shitting more.
Yeah.
Over there, because over here we're eating
4 or 5 times a day. If it's anything, if my own experiences are anything to go by.
Yeah. Whereas over here in England, we're eating white bread. Lot of cheddar and the odd egg. That's basically the British diet, right?
Yeah.
You're not shitting much of that.
Not a great deal. Once a day, probably.
So, anyway, I don't know where that leaves us. And then finally, he said, farewell.
Can I just say as well, you're talking about like size of people and stuff like that. How much does Jeff Cape shit? Loads.
Oh.
How much does Warwick Davis shit? Not much, I reckon. So, you know, you can't count them as the same.
Maybe.
You know,
I mean, I'd be surprised if there were any... What do we call the old dwarfs nowadays?
Little people now.
Are you sure about that?
I think that's all right. I don't know. Midgets is out.
I don't think so, midgets. But anyway, if you are listening and you are a little person, and forgive us, this isn't a joke, we genuinely don't know what the acceptable terminology
we're here
is,
to learn
and that is
grow.
Remiss of us, and so correct us. This is my first request. Secondly, tell us how much you shit. Because we might be, just you got a small body, doesn't mean half your body might be your bowel. We don't know. Anyway, that was his
and
second.
And the other half your brain.
That was his second mean.
But if you're gonna let us know, can you let us know over a 14-day period so we can average it out? Because you might have, you know, a short period where you're doing a lot of shitting for whatever reason, and that wouldn't be a very true reflection
saying,
of your shitting habits.
To any dwarf listeners we've got, please do a shit audit for 2 weeks and then send us the results.
Yes, please.
Right, because and the
otherwise
third...
we're going to get nowhere.
Yeah. And this is a two-way street, people, this podcast. It's not just all about us spoon-feeding you the facts and the info. We need something in return once in a while. We need your assistance.
Yeah.
Thirdly, he said farewells. Can you guess what farewells were?
Well, it's either going to be people dying or people moving abroad.
It was people dying. And to be honest, I did think he was fucking stretching this alliterative sort of phrase that he'd made up. Because... You know, I thought, okay, food, feces, farewells, I don't know, you mean death.
Could he
but
not
you
say
just
funerals?
Wanted it to be an F. I bet it funerals. Took him fucking ages.
Funerals yeah, would funerals, have been more appropriate.
He said, we know how many people have died. And I go, what? He goes, huh, little thing called graveyards. I go, okay, so, all right, you know, sometimes it's like I always say about bullshit, it's best not to question it too much. I go, all right, yeah, fair enough. That sounds completely watertight. So using those three data verticals, you know exactly how many people live in this country and you've calculated it to be 75 million. You've counted up all the shit.
Yeah.
You've been around all the graveyards, counting all the gravestones.
And you've put your head around the door in the greengrocers and asked them how much they've been selling.
Yeah, he sold out bananas again. Fuck me. I can't believe it. This country's full.
I'm putting the number up from 73.5 to 74 on the back of that.
Knock, knock. We're close. Sorry, no, it's only me. I don't need anything. Just got my notepad here. How many cream eggs you done this week? Oh, we've done about 4 dozen week Monday through Sunday. Oh, fucking hell, this is worse than I thought. No wonder Farage is getting so much traction. If that's the amount of cream eggs we're getting through, this is unsustainable.
But even then, even with cream eggs, you've got to factor in Easter and the Easter period, plus the post-Easter period when they're knocking them out cheap.
Yeah, so it's not the best time.
You can't work with cream eggs.
It's not the best time to order cream eggs.
You can't predict the population of a nation just based on how many cream eggs they sell. It just can't be done.
And what we've never, ever got to the bottom of either is how he's measuring the amount of shit in our sewers. It was the way he looked at me and just said, "There, trust me, there are means of measuring how much feces there is." And I'm thinking, what? How? What'd you do? Get a fucking tape measure and stick it down the fucking drain? A dipstick? What I do is I get a big long dipstick, I stick it down a drain, and it's like an oil test. You pull it out, and I've got different markers. And each mark that I've marked in pencil on my long stick is a different number of people. So I've got like 40 million, 50 million, 60 million, 70 million... I dip it down into the shit, then I pull it out. Oh, look, it's 75 million people.
Pull out the shit stick.
Now, if I cross-reference the shit stick findings with my cream egg data and my gravestone count, I can calculate that we're at a surprisingly round 75 million people in the UK. Worrying times.
Oh, fucking hell. Man.
So I can't remember why I started talking about that, but there's a lot of people living here, is what this bloke reckons.
Yeah, and what's the knock-on effect from that, did he say?
He said that there was, I don't know, I mean, did it feel racist what he was saying? I mean, we live in times where you have to be on the lookout all the time for people who are sort of trying to be racist by the back door.
What's it called? It's dog whistling, isn't it? dog whistle racism.
I don't listen. I don't want to say that's what he was doing. But did what he did say was that the he's asked me another question. Right. How much food do you think Britain can produce? Right? How many people can Britain feed with its own resources?
Right. I don't know. Are you asking me?
Again, I don't care. I mean, because at the local Sainsbury's, half the veg has been flown in from South Africa or Kenya, mate. So it makes no odds to me.
It's and not there like seems I'm, to be enough of it. You know,
I'm not living like fucking... I'm not living like Richard Briers in The Good Life, am I? Chance would be a fucking fine thing, by the way.
Yeah. Nah, fucking hard work, that.
No, but, you know, I just go up the shop and get my food and I've not... And they've not been found wanting yet.
Yeah.
So he said anyway. He said it was 25 million. He said it was 25 million.
What we can only feed 25 million.
Yeah.
What's the other 50 million doing then?
I think that's what I mean. They're getting it all. They're getting food flown from abroad. He means food that we actually can have
that we
grown here,
create ourselves here, right?
But
okay.
A lot of these people, and I'm not saying he was one of them, but a lot of these people who say this shit, it's like. They're constantly, you know, I think a lot of these people who have conspiracy theories or slightly intolerant views or whatever, I associate them. Like, you know that little prick you always see on YouTube going, you know, the one in his mum's basement telling being
Paul,
racist.
Paul something, yeah.
They're all like, and they all live at home and they've watched so many fucking shit films like Mad Max or X-Men or something set in a dystopian future that they genuinely, and this is a genuine point, not even a joke, they genuinely, their starting point of all of their political and social views are founded in fantasy films that they have overwatched. They've overwatched fantasy films on video games. And so they predict, like, dystopian futures being just around the corner. And so they base all of their fears and their ideas and their prognosis for every social ill or every issue on, like, Waterworld starring Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Where we live in a... In this future world where we're all underwater and have all had to fucking evolve gills on the side of our necks, right?
I'm not doing
and
that.
Water, and drinking water becomes as precious as oil. Mind you, we started this podcast by predicting a dystopian future in which podcasts are as precious as oil. So are we any better?
Nothing dystopian about that, Sam. Sounds fucking idyllic. Sounds like Xanadu.
Actually, doesn't it? It does sound good. So
this is a good point. This is a good opportunity while we're talking about dystopian scenarios. For me to recommend Chernobyl, which is on Sky Atlantic at the minute.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fucking dystopian scenario for you. But it fucking happened.
Lots of people, after we were talking last week about my experiences at the Cold War, Cold War Festival in Kew. Not, I mean, it's an exhibition, but now I am thinking, should we do
a Cold War festival? Could be,
because you could,
yeah.
Think of all the bands you could have playing, mate. Think of all the Cold War. Well, you'd have Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah.
You'd get them reformed. Is Holly Johnson dead or not?
No, he's still alive, yeah.
Well, then, we get him doing Two Tribes. We could get, what are the other great ones? Nikita by Elton John. 99 Red Balloons.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Dancing with Tears in My Eyes, Ultravox.
Oh, is that about
that,
it?
We had that nuclear attack in the video, do you remember?
What about Spandau? Didn't they do... What's that one about the Through the Barricades? I'm choosing to imagine.
That was Northern Ireland, but you can lump it in if you want.
Chuck it in. Chuck it in the mix. That's what I'm saying.
You've got Duran Duran with that lyric, "You're about as easy as a nuclear war." From Is
Chuck
Something
it in.
I Should Know?
Chuck Duran
Chuck
in.
It in. Yeah.
They're in. Next. Next. What's next?
This is going to end up a little bit like one of those fucking half-assed Winter Wonderlands that you see every Christmas in the news.
Sam and Andy's
Cold War Festival.
Cold War Festival land. Right, so we got these bands.
We'll dig a nuclear shelter so we can have... No, they can dig their own shelter. People can come along
dig
and
dig your own shelter.
Make their own
there you
shelter.
Go. There you go, there's a couple of spades over there. Get going, there's small ones for the kiddies as well.
Well, like that lad that did it in the 6 weeks holidays, we'll get some doors and it can rest the door across the top and then you're sheltered.
Oh, lovely
you
stuff.
Dug your own shelter.
Yeah,
this is good.
And we could get, I don't know, screenings of things like When the Wind Blows with them
Threads.
Too old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, not strictly related, but the right era and still dystopian. Do you think we could justify a screening plus Q&A of the Triffids? Day of the Triffids.
Yeah, why not? Fuck it.
Yes,
chuck it in.
If Duran are in, the Triffids are in, I tell you that much.
Dukes of Hazzard. That was a bit politically incorrect. Chuck it in.
I think the Dukes of Hazzard were preppers. I think that's what they are. They're classic preppers, aren't they? They were fucking rednecks living in the middle of nowhere, wearing those sleeveless denim jackets that all kind of preppers wear, right? They didn't have any proper doors on their car. And they were the whole thing, the Dukes of Hazzard, was about these two inbreds, cousins, right? Yeah. Both having it off with their other cousin. Uh-huh. And fucking Klondike Pete, their uncle, right?
Yeah.
And they were preparing. Let's not forget, it was popular in the very height of Cold War paranoia.
It was.
And they were convinced that it was during the Reagan era. They were convinced that they were under attack from the Soviets. So they were living up in those hills, just trying to get together enough tinned food and shotguns to be ready for when the whole shit house came tumbling down. And Boss Hogg, in many ways, he was the cunt trying to make them listen to reason. He was portrayed as this idiot, but in fact, Boss Hogg was just trying to say, guys, you don't have to live like this, right? Have you heard of perestroika, right? the Soviet regime is loosening up and coming round to Western ways of thinking. The threat is not as apparent as you believe it to be. That's
Bide
all
your time.
That Boss Hogg was saying.
And Bide, going, your time, that, Bide your time, Bide your time, Luke.
Fuck that. We're building our fucking compound up in the hills. Yeah. You can fuck off, mate.
Yeah, you could be right there. You could be right. But anyway, like you say, chuck it in. Chuck it in. Sam, that's all we've got time for this episode, but I think we're going to be all right without any football over the next couple of months. I think we're going to be okay.
We better chuck out some new subjects. Well, people can contribute, including with drawings, to our ideas for
football
Cold
theme park.
War Festival.
Oh, yeah, Cold War Festival.
And, of course, our sponsorship proposal. Which is semi-real, by the way. I reckon we could somehow make that happen.
Feels very real.
And that's it. And then, we need more subjects, but we'll be back with the mailbag and all your latest bullshit tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.